Every time I get up here, I get nervous. This isn't my bent. I prefer to be in the far background where nobody pays attention to me. But it's an honor and a privilege anytime they ask me to preach. And I just thank the elders and the leadership that they give me the opportunity. As Pastor Ken read 1 Peter, we'll be talking about God's grace, His holiness. But before that, I wasn't here the last two Sundays. We were down in California visiting friends. We have a couple that we go visit. It's basically a safe place that Janet could be away from home without worrying about allergies and dogs and dander and everything, and just a low-key life. And while we were there, we went down to visit her brother that lives in San Clemente. This is San Juan Capistrano Mission. This is overlooking part of the courtyard and some of the buildings. And this is just part of the grounds there at the mission. Come on. This is overlooking the fountain at the church, or the what's left of the one church. It was 1812, the earthquake destroyed the dome, killing people within the church. And this is what's just a picture of it and what's part of it. And it was brought to mind just the frailty of life, that while worshiping, you could die. Bookends are a strange thing to present. But we went to church and listened to the one speaker, and he was talking about ripples, each person creating ripples affecting other people. Good, bad, positive, negative. But it's like they're the bookends of our life. We have birth at one end and death at the other. And what we do in between, we write the stories. Some of us write short stories, some of us write novels. Some of us try not to write much at all and disappear. But he also was talking about sociologists, talking about the last 20 years and how to describe people as, he said, they're not me. He said, they're like feathers floating around on the air, just wherever. Talking to my one daughter, and we were talking about different things, why people do it. He said, this is a generation of me. Everything about me. So it's easy to see why. While we're born, we die. And nothing else matters in between. But we have been given a gift. As Christians, we have a new birth. And we could rewrite, or we had the right to write a different story. And this is one bookend is inserted. We can't do anything about our, we're born. And I'm glad about it. If I wasn't born, I wouldn't be here. So, but we have the new birth. Then we could write our story. But that's not the end. We have the hope of glory. And Peter talked about it, that it's guaranteed. We have an inheritance that is set aside for us. 1 Peter 1:3 said, blessed be the God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So that's the one bookend on the left. Then the other is an obtained and inherit an inheritance, which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. So our hope, our glory, is that one day we will be with Christ in heaven. We have concrete. We are saved. That, I hope everybody's saved. If not, that's the first thing you have to do. You have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess Him, your sins, and accept Him as your Savior. Then we write our life's history with this underlying theme that runs through it, that we are a Christian, and not that at the end we die, go in the grave, and that's it. Yeah, we die, but we have the eternity with God in heaven. Come on. I didn't give you a paper outline, so I wrote it on the one out for you. This is about Peter encouraging us to be holy because of God's grace. Point one is, therefore, be prepared for action. Two is, since you were called. And point three will be, therefore, put aside. And if you want to turn to 1 Peter, we'll start with verse 16. Then we'll backtrack back to 13. It says, because it is written, be holy, because I am holy. This concept was not hard for me to get around. The act of being holy wasn't hard for me to get around. But saying I'm holy, I was raised conservative Baptist, Baptist General Conference. And I knew God loved me, but we didn't talk about you are holy. And we don't go around and call Pastor Ken holy, Holy Pastor Ken, or Holy Pastor Dan, or Holy Pastor or Elder Bob, or Holy Elder or Deacon Rusty. We don't use a term. We don't get up in the morning and say, I am going to be holy today. Holy is, we understand that God is holy, and we understand who He is. Holiness is set apart from sin and set to God. So Peter gives us some parameters. He gives us choices. I was raised in a church where they loved lists. And you do this, and there's a list of, you don't do this, 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 and this. And it was generally the negative. But let's go back to verse 13. Therefore, prepare your mind for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. The therefore is talking about our great salvation. If you go back to verse 10, concerning the salvation that the prophets who spoke of you, of the grace that was to come to you, search intently with the great care, trying to find out the time and circumstance to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the suffering of Christ, the glory that would follow. This is because of our salvation, because of the grace, we are saved by grace through faith that God gave us, because he loved us first. We didn't love him. He loved us first. He gave us this salvation that we could live our life according to his will. And he says, therefore, prepare your mind for our action. Gird up the loins of your mind that you be in self-control and set your hope on him, on his grace. Why our mind. Why did he start with our mind? Think about it. It's not, he's talking as a mind, he's talking our whole being. All of our emotions, all our thinking. We could look at examples. We have two gateways into our mind. What we see, what we hear. And that affects what we choose. And this is all about choices, what we make. We could go back to Genesis and we could look at Adam and Eve. And Adam, when Eve presented him the fruit that she ate, he made a choice. He listened to her, he chose to eat it. We could go in to look at King David. He was up on the rooftop one evening, just in the cool of the evening. He looked over and he saw Bathsheba. He made a choice. He says, gird up your minds, because we're in a warfare. We're in a battle. I would love to go back to my 50s, 60s, to what was the generation of innocence. A lot of your older people remember Ozzie and Harriet and Father Knows Best. We didn't have the things to contend with as we do today. We sinned. We had to guard our minds just as much. But it's a daily thing that we are going through. We need to gird up the loins of our mind. It's used as a military word, or it's also a person getting action, starting an action. In those days, they wore long garments, flowing garments. When they went to work, they would pull up the ends of the garments, tuck them in their belts, so they could move. It was the idea of tying up all loose ends, getting everything out of the way, that they could have the freedom to move and be strong. The army did the same thing, for they could fight. This is a battle. And it goes on, it's set about talking about being self-control. Everything that comes into our minds, through our eyes, through our ears, we have to control our emotions, our thoughts. We have to make the choices. Because God loved us so much, he gave his only son, he provided the grace for us to make these choices. It goes on talking about the hope of this grace. Live in this hope. It said, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you. We have the past hope or grace of our salvation. We have grace for living today. We have grace to live tomorrow. And Peter was talking to people that were in time of persecution, like the Syrians, where they got their heads cut off. They had the grace of God to say, no, I'm not going to become a Muslim. And it cost them their head. But they also had the joy that knowing that they were going to be with God at that time. Peter was speaking to the ones that they might be burned alive, hung on a cross, thrown to lions. Luckily, we in this country, as of right now, we don't face those type of persecutions. But he said, talked about setting your hope fully on God, fully trusting in him, leaning on him, that his grace that is revealed in the Gospels, that we received salvation right up through eternity, that we need to hope on. He is sufficient for everything that we come to, for every moment from the past, present, and future. And it goes on and says, be as obedient children. He's bringing us that we are his children. We are supposed to obey him and honor him and not revert back to our evil or former evil desires that we used to live in ignorance. We all were saved out of our ignorance. We had evil desires. And yet today some of us have problems reverting back to it. He said, be as obedient children. Don't go back to your former ways. I wished I could say I don't go back to my former ways. I could get in that car, I'd drive out there, and I could drive down the road, and I could revert back to past ways that aren't right. Somebody pulls out in front of me, and immediately I could get upset. We're supposed to turn those over to God. We're not supposed to do it. And each one of us probably have our own problems, our own areas that we have to guard, especially that we could be triggered that'll trip our old nature. Though we are supposed to have died to the old nature, there's always, Satan is always trying to trip the triggers that bring it up. And he goes on, but just as he who called you is holy, being holy in all you do. We're supposed to act holy. We aren't supposed to be hypocrites, but one way to change how you are is to act how you want to be. If you want to be holy, you act holy. And he said, be holy because I am holy. And that passage is taken out of Leviticus 4. It doesn't want to cooperate. It came from 4:11, 46, or in 47. Therefore, I believe, or did I get them wrong? Just a second. 45. I am the Lord God concerning yourself, and be holy because I am holy. Do not make yourself unclean by the creatures that move about on the ground. I am holy and brought you out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy because I am holy. Peter is quoting Leviticus. And just as the Israelites were brought out of Egypt, we were brought out of our sinful life, our past. He says, and he tells us, and it's a command to be holy, because he is holy, to be set aside to him. And going on, point two, it says, since you call on the Father who judges each man according to each man's work, impartially, live your life as a stranger here in reverent fear, for you know it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, handed down to you from the forefathers, but with the precious blood of the Christ, the Lamb, without blemish or defect. He brought us out of our past. He redeemed us into this grace, life of grace, to live a holy life as strangers in a foreign land. We walk in this land, and we're supposed to live a holy life before people, before a stranger, as a stranger. And we call him as our Father, or we call him Abba Father. Growing up, my father told us kids that he had only one thing of value to give us. And he said it was the name, Thompson. And we were supposed to respect it. And growing up, we learned that to honor and love him. I love my father. I also had a reverent fear of my father, because I knew he could punish me. But I grew up knowing the love of a father. So as this, he says, we call on the Father who could judge each man's works. Yeah, we have, God says the ones he loves, he disciplines. He will discipline us when we go wrong. But we are supposed to honor him. We're supposed to respect him. We're supposed to love him with a reverence that he deserves, and that we are his children. And that because of that, he goes on in 22, that you are purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers. We are supposed to love our brothers with a fervent love. And not only our brothers, we're supposed to love the unlovely. We're supposed to love everybody. He loved us, and we pass this love on. It's easier to love our brothers or fellow Christians. But he says, love them more. Love them with a fervent love. Love them all the deeper. So we come to the Father, and just accept him and learn to love our brother. We learn to love our neighbor. We don't have to like everything they do, but we need to learn his love. We are called to a Father, by a Father, who loved us. He loved us so much he went to the cross to die for us. He shed his blood. For you were not born, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but the imperishable, through the living, enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, in all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. This is the word that was preached to you. His word is, we're going to pass away. But his word is forever. And it goes on the last three verses, or two verses of chapter 2, that therefore, because of this word that was preached to you, rid yourself, put away, cast off all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, slander, every kind. Like a newborn babe, crave the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up into the salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Malice, envy, hatred, hypocrisy, evil speaking generally go together. Evil speaking is a sign of malice, guile, and that lies in the heart. And all of them combined is hindrance or prohibits by the word of God. Peter was talking about a total being. So many times we get lost. It's like the saying, we can't see the forest for the tree in front of us. We pick out one point and we get lost in that point. But he's talking about being a complete person. We have to put off our evil speech, our malice, our thoughts. We have to, as Philippians, think on the things that are good, righteous. We can't let down our guard on guarding our mind, because there's so much evil going around today that if we are, unless we go off someplace and be a hermit, then we still have to contend with our own thoughts. But we can't, so guard our mind. Be self-controlled in our body. Be as obedient children. Honor and love God. This, we don't get up in the morning and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do today to be holy and walk. But this is the underlying thread that should be going through our life stories. At work, at school, at church, when we're out shopping. It's the idea that we live this underlying theme in everything we do. And people should recognize or see that there's something different about us. Not that we're in their face and saying, I am holy because I am a Christian. And if you don't like it, just go fly a kite. No. It's the subtleness, because Christ gave us the grace when he died on the cross that we should adapt our lives and make the choices to live according to his will in everything we do in our workplace. Peter goes on talking about being under authority, the marriage, this grace, and the theme of the book in 1 Peter 5:12, he talks about, with the help of Silas, who I am regarded as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. He talks about the true grace of God. We need to stand fast in it. Guarding our mind. Being self-controlled. Being obedient. Doing what is holy. That going out helping people. But being holy, setting ourselves aside from sin and setting ourselves to God. Now, we'll never be perfect, but it's the idea that we are supposed to imitate Christ. We are a Christ imitator. And as we grow and as we mature by getting into the Word and desiring the milk of the Word, and that's not like Hebrews talks about, just I give you milk because you can't eat meat. He's talking about the Word of God. We desire the Word of God, to grow in the Word of God. We should grow closer to being like Christ in all that we do. Christ didn't go out to be holy. He was holy. And everything he did was holy. As we desire the Word of God, seek after him, get in our closet and pray, and come closer to him, we will become more like him, and we'll progress towards the holiness that he desires that we have. we'll never accomplish it until eternity when He makes us holy. But our desire should be to mirror Christ, imitate Christ in all that He is. And part of it is being holy. Or all of it is being holy, really. So we each have our issues that we need to address. We have our problems or our weaknesses where we could fall from grace, not from grace, but make mistakes. And we need to work on them. I know that my attitude when I drive, if I had a 50 caliber machine gun, I could blow the cars off the road that get in my way. Or a robotic arm that I could just reach up and move them. But I had to learn God's grace. Instead of getting upset, I need to bless Him. And I imagine each one of us could think of area in our own lives that we have to work on.